Grace, mercy, and peace be to all you who bear the name of Christ on your head, on your heart, and on your soul, both now and forevermore. Amen. As we close off another year and step into another 12 months of God's grace, we turn our heart of devotion to Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. For he who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our heart rejoices, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Psalm 33. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, believes that people really don't care if their private lives become very public. Each day he kind of creates new ways of taking our privacy and putting it out there for the world to see. And it doesn't seem like very many of Facebook followers object to that. It just keeps on growing and growing and growing. What do you think about your privacy? Do you really care? In 2014, have you had your credit cards or your bank account hacked? How would that feel? Has the government been reading your emails or listening to your cell phones? Maybe in the new year, we'll end up with drones taking pictures through our picture window or in our backyard. What do you think about your privacy? Do you care? It's been said of the new year that assume whatever you write will be found in public media. Whatever you do will be recorded and instantly put on YouTube. And wherever you go on the internet, someone's watching you going there. What do you think about your privacy? I don't like people invading my privacy very much. That makes me very uncomfortable. But the reality of the situation that we all have to accept is that there's been eyes watching everything we have ever done since the first day we drew breath. God's eyes. What does the psalmist say? From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on the earth. That sends a chill down the spine of our sinful nature, and at the same time warms our new person of faith, all in that one great reality. From heaven, the Lord sees all people, all things. Wait a minute, though. Really? That isn't just such pious fiction. That has huge ramifications. Isn't that one of the things that this unbelieving world likes to throw in the face of believers to get them to doubt whether God really even ever exists? Really? Your God looks down from heaven and he sees all, he's all caring, all loving, all knowing. Why, he even sees things before they happen, and then why does he allow people like ISIS to be so brutal? Why does he allow gangs to shoot up the neighborhood and traffic so many drugs in our street? If he sees and knows everything, why does he allow little babies to be born with birth defects or to be aborted by the millions? Does he see but can't act? Or can he act but doesn't see? And oh, how Satan tries to put those little seeds of doubt in our heart. Even our sinful nature tries to get into the act. It has all those pet sins that it so loves to do, and Satan comes there dangling that forbidden fruit in our face, telling us all those lies that we love to hear so much. God doesn't really see. We're not even sure if God is there, Satan says. And if he sees, he probably doesn't even care because he never does anything about anything. He comes with that lie, oh, maybe God is just so removed from our reality, so distant from our lives that what he really thinks about things are totally irrelevant. Maybe the only thing that's truly, really relevant is what we want. And then Satan comes with the real killer. You will not die. All those lies. Lies upon lies to get us to doubt what the psalmist says. From heaven, the Lord sees all people. Well, then why would God allow such suffering and pain? Well, God has many different purposes. First and foremost, to draw people to himself for healing and forgiveness. But it can also be the striking blow of judgment. Notice, as God looks down from heaven and sees all things, he also says, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. It is God who allows nations to be born, and it is God that brings them to an end. Oh, if we could only not be so American in one moment and actually look back in time rather than just be straining on this moment in front of us. Look back through the annals of time. Look at the great kingdoms that thought there would be no end. The Canaanite, the Babylonians, the pharaohs of Egypt, oh, the great empire of Rome. They all thought they had control over their destiny, that they were masters of their fate. And the Lord raised them up for his purposes, and he put them down just as easily. And throughout all of time, it's been the Lord who has protected his chosen people and brought them from generation to generation. Why, even in our lifetime, how many dictators have we seen fall, never to be heard of again? Makes us wonder, in 2015, will Vladimir Putin be the end of the Russian nation? Will the emperor of North Korea truly destroy his own people? Are we possibly living in the last days of America? Are we falling apart? Will our greed and our immorality, the murder of our unborn children and our self-glorification go unpunished forever? God has raised up this great nation, and he can certainly bring it to an end. It's not invincible. It's not forever. The Lord looks down on all people, even as individuals. In any one of our own personal private lives, will God use our own pet sins in 2015 to bring about our own demise? Will our own personal lies that we embrace become our coffin? Serious things to think about for the new year. Our individual greed, our individual immorality, our love of pleasure, our own self-glorification threatens to destroy us and to kill our faith. If there's anything that is similar between 2014 and 2015, it's our need for it to be a year of repentance. God threatens the nations as he looks from his throne on high, but notice what he says to his believers as he gazes down on us this evening. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. God is good to his people, to those who hope is in him. Notice, as we step into 2015, we do not want our hope to be in the size of our army. Ooh, we have nuclear weapons. Nor in the integrity of our politicians. Nor in the glories of science or the vastness of our vault and our banks and our checkbook. Or even hope in the intelligence of our own brains. Those are all very fleeting things. But God calls for us to have hope in him and in his love. And notice what he reveals about himself in his unfailing love. He looks down upon us, and his love never fails. Isn't that remarkable? He looks down on us and he calls a sin, but he looks down on us with his grace and pronounces his forgiveness. The eyes of the Lord looking upon us. It was none other than the eyes of the Lord God Almighty that peered out of that manger and looked at Mary and Joseph and the shepherds as they gazed upon him. It was the eyes of the Lord God Almighty who were looking down from that cross to see all those who were mocking him and charging him and dying with him and executing him. And he was always looking at them with a heart of forgiving love. And so those eyes were gazing upon us too before we were even born, in his forgiving love. Notice how the psalmist points out who this God is that never lets us out of his sight. He is the creator of the universe. He called the stars into being before one of them existed. He's the one who has made the oceans rest in their basin and have the clouds carry millions of gallons of water over our head. And we are still safe and sound. He's the one who provides all that we need in creation and in His love, all so that He can keep on loving us and loving us and loving us. He looks down on us and says, I have a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, and nothing will stop me from my plan. I will not be thwarted. This world, though, it makes plans and it disintegrates before them, but my plans stand firm. You will be my own for time and eternity. I will even sacrifice my own son to accomplish my plans, that you might be mine for all eternity. He makes a promise with His word, and He is faithful to the very end. He doesn't promise one thing one day and go back on it the next. And so His promises are the only sure thing we have in the coming year and the only sure thing we need in the coming year. He promised to send us a Savior, and He did it. He promised to forgive all of our sins, and He accomplished it. He promises to hear our prayers, and He does it. He promises to work His good and gracious plans every year of our lives. He promises to greet us every morning with arms stretched out of mercy and grace, looking for ways to bless us. He has promised to meet us, to greet us, to come to us through word and sacrament, that He is truly present in the bread and the wine, to finish off this year with His grace and to step into a brand new one with our Savior's grace. How richly from year to year He provides all that we need. That's why the psalmist says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. We are His only because He has chosen us to be His, to place His favor upon us, to call us out of that darkness and make us His own beloved. And so we are loved. We are the most blessed people on the face of the earth, regardless of what is waiting for us in 2015, regardless of what we've had to endure in 2014, we are the most blessed people on the face of the earth because we are the children of God. And all that is His is ours. His blessings will never end. While the world is falling apart, and we might see some very tragic things in the next year, if God were to pour out His wrath upon this unfaithful nation, still in all of that, we are the children of God, and He will preserve and protect us. Now that the psalmist has told us what God's plans are for 2015, we ask ourselves, what are our plans for the next 12 months? The psalmist gives us a New Year's resolution that might actually be worth considering. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. Trust. There's few things in this world we can truly trust, at least with all of our heart and life. But our God? Now that's a different story. He never goes back on His word. And so we are saved. We can absolutely trust that in 2015, Jesus will be our help and shield. Why? At this point, we don't even know what's waiting for us that we're going to need help with or shielding from. But we do know who's standing in that day already, waiting to be our strength, our fortress in our time of need. And does that not give courage and comfort as we step into a brand new year? What he has promised us in the new year is that he will kiss us each and every day in his love. That he will hold us close to his heart and carry us in his all-powerful arms. That he will still work his good and gracious will for us. That we can bank upon. And that's why it's going to be a good year, just like the last one was a good and gracious year in our Lord. It moves us to do what the psalmist did. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Not only on a New Year's Eve, but all throughout the new year. That every day and every moment be used for worship. Isn't that remarkable? Our Lord didn't remain secluded up on his heavenly throne far beyond our gaze. No, he came down to make what was very private, very public for all the world to see. Who is this one and only Savior, and how has he done it? It's public for all the world to see. How good 2015 would be if we loved to look upon him and have our eyes gazing upon him and his word as much as his eyes are locked on us. How good 2015 would be if our ears were tuned to his word and what he wants to tell us as much as his ear is tuned to hear our prayers. Oh, what a year that could be. What a year born in the heart and the will of our Heavenly Father, that we would walk with him in the cool of the evening all throughout the coming new year. What will truly make 2015 remarkably wonderful? Well, the psalmist prays for it, and it's our prayer this evening. May your unfailing love rest on us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. And it will. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, how gently and lovingly you have guided us through all these years. How close you have come to fill us with your grace divine. And so we eagerly look forward to a brand new year of your grace and favor. Lead us where you want us to go. Teach us what you want us to know. Lift us up in your grace and glory that we might sing your praises for time and all eternity. In Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.